QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz plus, and a PL of 131.8. This is a directed net conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, would like to make one announcement this evening. Some of you out there are new listeners, probably will not know this gentleman and his wife, Gene Longbreak, one of the original members of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. His wife passed away. Unfortunately, we just got news of this. Nina Longbreak passed away on March 26, 2011. She had just turned 92 3 days prior. And her husband, Gene Longbreak, past member of the Big Bear Lodge and past worthy patron of the Big Bear chapter of the Eastern Star. Let me reset. A little information about Nina. She was a member of the Eastern Star in Pasadena, then in Big Bear, for more than 50 years. She was a past worthy matron, and in 1992 through 93, she was a grand representative of TN in California. Both she and her husband, Gene, were ham radio operators. Her call sign was KB6CAO, now Silent Key. She was granted the license in May of 1993, and she was fairly active as a ham until the license expiration date of May 2003. Private family graveside service was held on April 5th at Riverside National Cemetery. Condolences may be expressed to Gene at P.O. Box 6874. That's P.O. Box 6874, Big Bear Lake, California. That's 92315. Or you can email Gene at Gene. His name, Gene, G-E-N-E-K-6-I-Y-M, at AOL.com. That is actually Gene's call, K-6-I-Indio Yankee Mike. Sorry to hear this, and I'm sure some of the other people up here from way back would remember more about that. Gene was quite a character himself as being a very do-it-yourselfer builder of ham radio, going back to the way back days. Anyway, all right, so let's move ahead here. Topic for this evening, we're going to discuss a little bit about coax and what it could do besides being coax. And we have a few more things to discuss with our Yagis and our TLGs and stuff like that. Let me reset real quick here, and I'll call the roster. All righty here. Well, I think the top of the list, and by the way, we do need to organize this list, or I do anyway. Okay. Let's see where we are here. Yes, who is this guy? WB6CLZ Mike in Placentia or Herman Lake, depending where he's at.
Sir, Tom, we are in Placentia, and it's kind of cool. I get to check in before Cindy on this one. This is WB6CLZ. Good evening to everybody.
All right. Is Cindy there next to you, or are you checking her in?
I'm right here, Tom. I'm not missing a thing. This is WB6CIN.
Roger that. Glad to have both of you with us. KA6CIA George, are you out there listening this evening?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, and thanks for the information on NINA. We hadn't heard that. And we'll be listening, KA6CIA.
Okay, George, sorry to announce stuff like that. How about KE6RJ Harry, and he might be up here in Sugarloaf. Harry, you out there this evening?
Good evening, KE6RJ and KE6QI. Thank you. Hey, sounds great. I listened to your preamble, and very, very good. Okay, I'll be on the side listening and learning.
All right, Harry, we got you and Nancy checked in. Appreciate that. And don't know if KJ6FEX Allen's out there in Corona. Yeah, nothing heard there. How about AF6ZJ, Zebra Jockey, Guy in Rosemont? Are you out there, Guy? Yeah, nothing heard. How about KI6SKN Chris? He's over there swapping fish stories with Eric, I think. How about KJ6HZS, Mike?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is KJ6HZS. That's the report.
All right. Guard the west front there for us, Mike. Keep all that bad weather away. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Good evening, Tom and everybody else. We'll be listening, KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, yeah, I just got up here this afternoon from down there, and amazing the difference in the weather from down there up here. Yeah, pretty clear sky up here. How about KF6VH, Bob? Yeah, nothing heard there, and don't know if he's back on the radio. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
Yes, KJ6KDL is here, and I'll stand by so my wife can check in.
Oh, roger that. Guess you got that solved. KJ6KDK, Rosemary.
KJ6KDK here, listening and mobile.
Oh, fantastic. Glad you could both check in. Alrighty, well, I'm going to call two people that might be in Echolink. We'll leave just a little break. We got W6MRK. Are you out there on Echolink?
How about K6TUX?
Hang in there, G. I got you on the list. Don't worry, you're coming up. Let's give Mark a break there if he's out there. But I got you. One more time, W6MRK, Mark. Nothing heard, and don't know if Peggy's out there, KJ6DBQ. I know she moved up north. Give her one shot if she's on Echolink. And nothing heard there. All right, let's move on to W6GZI. Frank, are you out there? And nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly. He's probably over the smoker. How about K6GVL Ron in Green Valley? Yeah, nothing heard. I heard this guy, 86PL Harold.
Good evening, 86PL.
Good evening, Harold. Glad to have you out there from Riverside. Appreciate that. How about W6AWL Art? I think he's down Sun City.
Yeah, it works tonight. It was sunshine today, so we'll call it Sun City instead of Menifee. And a little bit of announcement. Let me go.
Go ahead, Art.
Okay, the next activity that utilizes hams to support and provide for safety is coming up with what they call the ride around the fair. And it could use a lot of people from the different sources, and we'll put them together with ECS members. This is a bicycle race starting in Redlands at the park there at University, up and over the east end of the mountain, across the mountain, through Big Bear, down 38, and back to the park down there. So anybody wants to get in there and get a part of it, give me a holler. Let Tom know as you go through the net, and we'll line you up with some of the ECS members that are putting this on, and you can learn what we do and how we handle emergency traffic and take care of our bike riders, make sure nothing's happened to them. Back to you, Tom. Thank you so much. W6AWR.
Okay, Art, appreciate that. Yeah, everybody out there listening up on that, this is one of the great things that TAMS do out there, ECS, as I'm a member. Hey, wait a minute, I think I'm the lieutenant up here. Yeah, it's in conjunction with San Bernardino County Fire Department. Communications backup, kind of cool. Volunteer work, sometimes it's a lot of fun. And, in fact, it's always a lot of fun. Unless we're out there for emergencies, then it's all serious work. All right, Art, thanks. And we're going to move on here to W6JLM. Judith, let's see. Are you? You're on the hill now. You're not on the road.
Yeah, we're up here. This is W6JLM, and we'll be listening tonight.
Well, roger that. And W6KMM?
Good evening, Lieutenant Fry. This is W6KMM checking in.
All right, glad to have you both back. Like I say, you've been out traveling back and forth, to and fro. Glad to have you back on the hill. How about KI6OHN, John? Yeah, nothing heard there. How about KJ6DBU, Will? Nothing heard. Don't know if she's out there. KI6OHI, Yomar? Nothing heard. KI6MAM Bill from Landers. Nothing heard. Here's a guy that's out there a lot. K6YNW, Chris. Maybe he'll join us a little bit. How about W6KBC? Gary, are you out there? Nothing heard. From Boulder City, Boulder Bay, the Boulder Man, KD6LVN. Bill, you out there?
Boy, do I wish it was Boulder City. Oh, boy, do I wish. Good evening, all. KD6LVN.
Good evening, Bill. Glad to have you out there. Next on the list, I got K6HAL, Rudy. Nothing heard. How about WB6PBZ? I got to fix this list. Ray, out there in Rancho. And nothing heard. Let's see here. How about KJ6BCK Adam, Garden Grove? And nothing heard. How about AE6CKV, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
Yeah, this is Alpha Echo 6, Charlie Kilo. So my call sign, yeah, it was so surprised for me that I can't even express myself. But anyway, I am getting you very well, very nice weather, and I am listening to you, whatever you can say. This is Alpha Echo 6, Charlie Kilo.
Okay, I got a V on the end of your call saying, I'll get that out of there. Just Alpha Echo 6, Charlie Kilo. Is that correct?
Roger, roger.
Okay, Victor, thank you very much. Appreciate that. All righty, how about KE6VHM? Frank, are you back up here? Yeah, nothing heard. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good Good evening, everyone. K6ROD. What is, could you mention what the date is for that bike ride?
Yeah, roger that. Art, are you still out there? I don't have that in front of me. When's the ride around the bear?
Coming up June the 11th. That's a Saturday. They got to start in Redland, so we get to sleep in and do it during the middle of the day. Anybody else wants to help out, take the names down, and we'll put them with some helpers and participate in that. June 11th. Back to you, Tom, W6AW.
Hey, thanks, Art. And anybody wants to help out with that, drop me an email at KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6, Quebec, KF6Q at ARRL.net. And I'll get you hooked up with that information. Also, any questions with Tech Tuesday or suggestions or anything else, general comments, give me an email. All right, moving along here. Let's see, Arrow Bear Leon, is he out there? KJ6DBS. Nothing heard? How about K6OKG, Robert, the new neighbor of Lance up there, I think. Nothing heard. How about KB6LTY, Christy? And nothing heard. How about AE6TV, Hans? Okay, nothing heard. Got a couple from last week, new check-ins. W6QY, don't have a name on that one. W6QY, you out there? And nothing heard. KB6BTL, another new one out there. You out there? Nothing heard. How about KJ6? IAP, James. And this is KF6Q with the Tech Tuesday Net on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater every Tuesday, 1900 hours. Technical conversations, sometimes not too technical. So, let's see here. How about KJ6LJF, William? Nothing heard, and of course we got K6TUX, but I got him on the list again. Guy, I know you're out there.
Yeah.
Roger that. Glad to have you out there. And then last I have on the list here is NQ7RD. I don't know, Rick in Corona, you out there?
Good evening, Tom, and one and all on the net. This is Rick in Corona, NQ7RD. Looking forward to the net.
Hey, Rick, glad to have you out there. All righty, as I have the list here, and we try to keep this list up to date, and one of these days I'll get it organized a little more alphabetically, so bear with me, guys. Anybody else out there that would like to check in this evening as a guest, please call Net Control.
Kilo 6, Lima, Charlie, Sierra, good evening, no traffic.
K6LCS, Clint, how you doing? From Arupa Valley, but we'll let you say Mariloma once in a while. Anybody else out there? All right, anybody can check in any time and join the group. Not a problem. So, let's see here, we're moving ahead. I think we're going to hand this thing over to Michael. Michael, WB6CLZ, are you back out there?
Tom, we are with the DX report. Anyway, things were great this weekend. Good evening, everybody. This is WB6CLZ. We had a fantastic weekend with space weather reporting sunspots in the middle 150s. So really, really good sunspot count. Everything was fantastic. I had Russian stations coming in. I basically had to swat them away with flies. Also, we had a real good QSO with RL3 Alpha Slava in Moscow. You know, that heap was putting out a very nice signal. That's about 6,000 miles. That's a pretty good hump. And and at that time I was running 10 watts, which is pretty cool. I didn't work, but I heard 3W7W in Nha Trang, Vietnam, first Vietnamese station I've ever heard on the air since I've been a ham. 9K2GS in Saudi Arabia. We finally got through the pileup and worked him. That's about 8,000 miles. Abdul. And my best one of the whole week went in was ZS4 Sierra, John in South Africa. I was in the office here just doing a little book work. Had the Elecraft on 114.175, just had the receiver on or kind of left it there. And all of a sudden, QRZ is this frequency in use, and it was ZS4 Sierra in South Africa. Gentlemen, that is, and ladies, if there are any out there, that on short path, that's 10,000 miles. Long path, that's 14,500 some miles. That's a lot of signal. I hit him back with 100 watts, and while I was talking to him, he was booming in, just like over S9 on the S meter. And then I cranked it down to 10 watts, and I went down 2 to 3 S units, according to him, and he's still Q5 copy, and he copied me pretty well. Just superb conditions. So that's my DX report. That's how things are getting, and it's going to get better yet. So, you know, all you guys that need to upgrade to from technician to general, get out there and do it. You know, Tom's testing once a month. Get the books open and go for it. And also remember that 10 meters is a really hot band also when the reset. The sunspot cycle is coming up to a peak like it is. So with a technician license, get yourself an HF radio. You know, you can find them all kinds of for like $100 or less if you look around. Get out there and play with that. You know, we'll help you with antennas and antenna seminars and such. So things are going to get really exciting in the next year. So this is WB6CLZ. Back to Tom, Net Control.
Well, Mike, sounds like you've been pretty busy out there on the HF. Good deal. That's a pretty good report. Well, that's some good distances there. Well, you say 10 minimum 14,000 and doing that on 10 watts. That is just, to me, is unbelievable, but I know it happened, so it's awesome. Well, let's see who else out there. Is anybody else out there with any other DX information, any HF DX information? Please come back. All right, nobody else out there, that's okay. Well, Mike, let's see, we've got a couple things we're going to talk about. We had a few things from last week carry over. Do you have the list in front of you? Because I do not.
Sorry, Tom, I got called out to go to work, and I do not have it in front of me either. So we're going to have to wing it. Back to you.
Hey, Roger that. Got some emails from one of our listeners out there this week, and hoping Chris was going to be out there. I don't hear him out there this evening, though. And we're going to talk about coax. What's coax? It's feed line. You know, it's how you get the signal from your radio up to the antenna. The coax itself can sometimes act as not coax, but as a tuning element. And it's because it's a transmission line. Other than that, if you on the surface, we look at that, we say, well, okay, it's wire. It's wire with a shield. But it's more than that. Being as it is a transmission line, we can use that as little lump-sum elements to kind of tune our stuff up. Mike, did you ever try that over there at your QTH up here in Irwin Lake?
We used one as a ballon, as a choke before, and we've used them for antennas before.
Yeah, there is a lot of uses for coax besides just feed line. And one of the things, it can actually, a chunk of coax, shorted or open on one end, and I say a chunk, depending on what frequency you're at, could be anywhere from 10 feet to 40 feet. Long can act as a tuning element to help you actually pull in stations. It sounds weird. It's not going to act as an antenna. It's going to can actually act as something to compensate your antenna to help it work better on that band. And it's used a lot. It's actually cheap to use if coax, if you can get a hold of some coax cheap. Don't have to have something really fancy like RG8 or LMR 400 or whatever. You can actually use something real cheap like RG8 or RG58, even RG58X will work, because this is mostly going to be used on the HF bands, and all those will work fine. Some of that stuff out there is only 30 cents a foot. That's brand new, used a lot cheaper. So anyway, Mike, anything else to add to that? And I lost him out there. Okay, Mike, you're out there somewhere. WB6DLZ, KF6Q. This is KF6Q on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club with Tech Tuesday. Also, as we've been discussing a lot about Yagis and all the different facets of those, how they work and all that, one thing that we were getting into is stacking Yagis and stacking. Let's see. So, Mike, what do? Just take them out of the box and lay one on top of the other? How do we do that?
Okay, Tom. Yeah, I'm here. I'm getting images on this receiver down here, so there's some propagation stuff going on this evening. Excuse me for that. I thought it was somebody asking. They were asking for net control, so sorry about that. We have to space the antennas either above each other, one above the other, or side by side, and we have to stack them at specific distances to get those to operate properly. Usually where just the magnetic fields are just touching. How's that sound?
Oh, that's perfect. And a lot of times one wavelength will work. Well, what does that mean? Well, okay, so if we're doing this with 2 meter antennas, 2 meter band, say 146 megacycles is about the middle. But 2 meter, well, there's a giveaway. It's basically close to an even 2 meters. 2 meters being about 6 feet, about maybe 80 inches, actually, 6'8". So if I had two of these and I spaced them 6'8" apart, then they would probably work pretty decent as a rule of thumb. Anything to add on that, Mike?
Well, we have to remember that we're not going to get exactly twice the gain out of it, too. And the pattern is going to change a little bit.
Oh, roger that. You'll get close, and it's actually the critical thing about controlling that gain is how far apart they are. Now, of course, we want them closer together simply so it's not so huge up there on our roof. But if we get up to that one point, that magic spot or sweet spot of being about one wavelength, and, that's a shot from the hip, and it can vary a little bit, but approximately a wavelength apart, what that's going to do, any further apart, is not going to change the gain. Now, when we do put these two antennas, whether they're one on top of the other or side by side, and there is a difference there, of course. If we're using FM, and we're talking 2 meter antennas for the FM portion of a 2 meter band, side by side would be the best because we're vertically polarized. Let me reset. And it would be, you could put them one above the other, and it will work. It's just, they're physically going to be easier to physically put the whole thing together side by side. Now, if you're running a single sideband section of 2 meter, totally different. That's horizontally polarized, so the elements are going to be horizontal. And then you might want to stack one above the other, so the same way. It'd be like stacking two TV antennas, one above the other. You're going to get close to double the gain. Pretty neat. And you're not limited by two. I guess, Mike, how big can we actually get with this?
I think that would be only limited by the physical size. I don't think there's any electrical. You do reach a point, though, where diminishing returns.
Well, diminishing returns does work as far as elements, because you keep adding elements, and you get a very little gain with each element. Now, let's say we're taking four element antennas, And if we add two, we're going to double the gain. We double that to four, we're going to actually double it again, and pretty close to that. So if we double that again, and we now have eight antennas, we will actually double our gain again. Now, I guess the point is, yes, you will get pretty good gain, and you will actually get not diminishing returns on that, but are you going to need that much? I guess that's the question. Back to you, Mike.
That is a good question. You know, I think as far as gain, you probably need all you can get, but I think you're going to enlighten us on that. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, it goes back to application, and I will give one good example here. We use the Big Bear repeater. It's got an excellent footprint, and I'm just going to shoot from the hip on this. It's probably got a 200-mile radius with a couple of dead spots there, but without an issue. It's way out there, maybe a little bit less in some areas, but pretty good radius. So let's see. To get into that repeater, we have a lot of people. We have people, KJ6TYN in India. He's on every morning. I think he's running just a vertical. Maybe he's got I think he's going to get something that's going to be a Yagi, but right now he's got a vertical. How far would you say NDO is from here, line of sight?
It's got to be all of 100 miles, 150 miles, not quite sure.
Roger that, and that's without a Yagi. So I guess we have a point here of possibly two Yagis would be great. And we're talking about a repeater that's up, 8,200 feet high. Now, let's take the repeater away for a moment. Simplex, talking on one frequency, person to person. I know for myself, I have been in the Inland Empire right around the corner from Clint, as a matter of fact. K6LCS, and actually had a four-element Yagi pointed towards Big Bear. And I heard Art, I heard Mark, I heard a lot of people up here when we were actually on a Simplex, actually on the input of the repeater. So basically heard them fine. So basically four or five element Yagi is pretty good just by itself. Any comments, Mike?
Also know that on 2 meter sideband, we've got a couple of guys that we talk on the HF net in the mornings, Gray, KC6UIX, and Lanny, W6AT. They pretty regularly talk into Las Vegas on 2 meter sideband.
Yeah, roger that. So there's quite a bit going on there. Now, when we talk about stacking Yagis and, you know, adding and, you know, getting gain, huge amounts of gain, there is a section of the 2 meter band that's used for EME, Earth Moon Earth communications, and that's probably when you would need that gain. But I would think normally it would not be an issue that we would normally want to pursue for 2 meter. Comments, Mike?
Contact.
Set gain ticket, Tom.
I am sorry, guys. I have to leave you. I don't feel good. I got to go lie down. So please forgive. Thank you. K60UX.
Okay, Guy. Take care and get some rest and hope you feel better. I think there's a bug out there going around. I know a couple people that have it. Get better. K60UX, we'll catch you later. Anyway, Mike, go ahead.
Well, I would think that on EME you have to have a lot of game to overcome the path loss. I just totally zoned out on that one when he came up on frequency. So come again with that, please, Tom. Sorry about that.
Well, I mean, VHF, essentially line of sight. You know, we can stretch that out a little bit. It'll bend a little bit, but... you know, and if I'm aiming at the moon, it's straight at the moon. It's line of sight. I'm going to bounce off the moon. That's one thing. But let's say if I want to hit Europe, so, and I have all these antennas, am I really going to be able to do that shooting out horizontal? Probably not. Comments? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, probably not. You don't have the ionosphere on 2 meters. It just kind of goes right through it. It doesn't reflect off like on HF. So, yeah, probably not. It probably is just going to kind of fade away and go out into space somewhere and dissipate.
Roger that. And, you know, there is a thing called ducting, tropical ducting, or tropospheric ducting. Ducting? I'll get it out there. That's okay. And it's a phenomena that happens, and it kind of causes this little channel through the atmosphere, and it'll do that then. I mean, yeah, you can hit Hawaii from here. It's been done. Is it going to happen all the time? No. If you have lots of antennas, will it happen all the time? Probably not. Might have a better shot at it. But so anyway, stacking Yagis, you know, has its good parts and bad parts. Now, we get down to the HF bands. We have two problems. Yes, it is more practical because you will actually get out there a little bit better. You're going to kind of zone in a little bit. But what happens when we get in the HF bands as far as physical size, Mike?
We are sorely limited because the wavelength is so low and your antennas have to be so long. We can build trap antennas and kind of help that along a little bit, making coils that kind of take up for the length of the wire. But, yeah, physical size is a definite limitation at HF.
Ah, that would be a loading coil. Trap coils actually divide the antenna up in different bands, two different things. But I knew you meant that. Yeah, we get into the, say, like the 20-meter band, your half-wave dipoles, 10 meters long, that's 30 feet, that's one element. You start stacking these on a Yagi, okay, a three-element Yagi, and then you're going to stack multiple Yagis. You better have a lot of tower space or a lot of space, period. So, and that's just for 2-meter band. 4-meter would be pretty tough. Not that it hasn't been done. If you go out there and Google that, you'll see some pretty awesome pictures. But, yeah, so, you know, there's pros and cons. I've seen an array for EME, 2-meter antennas, multi-element. I think this thing had about 16 or 32 different antennas, and I think it had a Ferris wheel motor to move it. But anyway, any other thing to add to that, Mike? Go ahead.
Negative, there are some pretty awesome antenna systems out there, though. Yeah, if you type in largest Yagi in the world, there's a 75-meter, I guess, 7-element or so Yagi that's just fantastic and huge. And most of us don't have the real estate for it. But, yeah, there's some nice ones out there that kind of out of my reach anyway.
Well, we all have. And that's basically what antennas are all about. Everybody out there is listening. As that all antennas will work to some degree. And you don't have to have the best. You don't have to have the biggest. They'll all work. And some of the things we can do to tune them up and fix them will actually make them work better. That's a lot of our Tech Tuesday stuff we talk about. So that's all good stuff. Now, if we get into the 440 band, which hopefully we won't lose, or lose part of it anyway, the 440 band is kind of cool, you know, a little bit smaller antennas, easier to actually throw together maybe a multi-element. And that helps there because the 440 band, because it's, three times the higher frequency, a little more difficult to get out there. Line of sight now is overcome by distance. So on the 440 band, yeah, you can do a couple little things there and actually not take up much physical space. Let me reset.
Tom. AWL.
Yes, all right, go ahead.
I don't want to change your thinking and what you're doing. You're following right along. Help us out. Help me out. I'm sitting down here in Sun City, middle of Menifee. I have a dual band Yagi, 32 feet in the air. I got a 3-element on 2-meter with a 440 5-element in front of it, acting as more directors. And as everybody can tell from the times I've been up there, when I pointed at Big Bear, I'm nothing but scratch. Right now, I'm pointing at San Jacinto. Kind of give us a little bit about that.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, because I got to tell you, Art, you're crystal clear here. And this is another good thing that's good about a Yagi. We were talking about directionality, and we're going to actually try to help Gi out for the same purpose. Certain times, certain propagation things really hurt his signal. However, we can focus his signal, say, also off of San Jacinto, go around the mountain straight to that path. And Art, this is obviously what's happening with you. You're bouncing it off the mountain. And what's cool about that, we have these built-in granite reflectors. They're pretty excellent. I know, Mike, you're an HF guy, but have you experienced that? Because this is what Art's doing. He's using a reflector, using that mountain as a reflector probably to get a better bounce at our repeater. I'm going to give it to Mike just for a second there. Art, Mike, got any comments?
I really haven't. I do have a Yagi, but it's a horizontal Yagi on 2 meters. And right now I'm using the disc cone up about 40 feet. So I really don't have a beam antenna up there in Big Bear that I can play around with. So I'm just kind of stuck with down here. And I have not really done that on FM, mostly on sideband.
Okay, well, that's all right. Just thought I'd give you a chance to make a comment there. Now, here's the cool thing about using the Yagi. Other than the fact that you have to have a rotator, you know, and then make sure you know which way that doggone thing's pointing, there are times when we have these weird propagation problems, these inversion layers or static in the air from wind. And I know we've talked about this in the last few weeks. As this stuff happens, it'll sometimes block the signal on one path and allow it to come through in a different path. If it allows it a little bit from both, two different paths, with the main path being kind of, you know, just attenuated or shut down a little bit, these two come in at the same time, and it sounds fuzzy, it sounds scratchy, you think the guy's off frequency. He's actually perfectly fine. It's just the signal. So if you have a Yagi instead of an Omni, what'll happen is that... Let me stand by. Yeah, okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. But that'll allow you to point your signal at a, say, a built-in reflector called a mountain. And it works. And Art, is that basically, are you now determined to point towards San Jacinto all the time?
Yeah, it seems to be the best signal from down here. And, you know, I'm only 2 blocks away from where I used to be, and I could point at Big Bear and hit it. Without the same elevation. But now, and I was just out there and checked it, I'm pointing it at San Jacinto to hit Big Bear Repeater. And if you look at the map, I am just about south of where I should have been, and I've got to come out east. So that's how it works, and it doesn't matter on the Yagis. The one that I have in the mountains is pointed up, and my best 440 signal through the ECS group is across and into Blue Ridge. Believe it or not, I can't hit any of the local ones. So it's just what you do with the antenna and how you get it out there. Back to you, Tom, W6AWO.
Comment.
Oh, 86BL, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let the station down in Menifee know that I'm sitting here in my car in Riverside, and I have him on the input. It's a lot of scratch, but I can still copy his entire conversation. So his side lobes are pretty good off of that thing, apparently, 86 feet.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for that information, Harold. You know, and this is where it would be great if somebody could invent some RF field glasses where we would put them on and just see exactly where our signal's going, but we can't. So the best we can do is pretty much aim, try, test, and see what works the best. And like what Art's doing there, I know he's tried a lot of different things. So I think he's finally got that puppy down to a science there. But it's different, and the only thing that will change that in time could be propagation, cloud, static, wind, inversion, temperature inversion stuff. So, you know, that'll mess with us too. So, yeah, it's, and the thing is that there's another thing called knife edge. Now, here's a whole different animal. Mike, you remember us talking about that? WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
F6Q, WB6CLZ. Drop the ball again. I was just looking it up on Google, Tom.
You don't have to Google it. I'll tell you what it is. Anyway, knife edge. It's a phenomena of radio waves. It happens, believe it or not, all the way up to the 3 gigahertz frequency. It's a phenomena where radio waves hit a mountaintop and go over the top of the mountain and then continue on further down the other side, kind of like a little weird little special prism was up at the top of the thing. What causes it exactly? I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows, but it is a phenomena, and they've done experiments with microwave stuff. Now, this is all the stuff that's supposed to be line of sight and not supposed to go through the mountain. We've done experiments with it up here at Big Bear. Let me reset. I've been right here at Sugarloaf looking up at the peak and talked Simplex over the top, gone right down to the South Fork Valley below. Real easy, not a problem. That's knife edge. Technically, the mountain should reflect it. It should never even go there, but it does. Had another experiment I did down in Lake Forest. Let me reset. Lake Forest area, looking almost at a 30-degree angle or better up at Saddleback Peak. Santiago Peak, actually. Saddleback's a little thing between that and Majestic. Very high up, directly in line with the Big Bear repeater, and did a knife edge over that to Big Bear on the repeater up there. Had a little help, had a couple of big old metal water tanks behind me, but used that with just a vertical antenna, a little tiny half-wave vertical. So it wasn't even a Yagi running a little, you know, just mobile power at a mobile rig. So pretty awesome. Mike, did you Google it? Did you actually Google it and find anything else interesting?
Well, I found something about the Huygens-Fresnel principle, and I'm starting to get into it a little bit, and then we get into some pretty heavy-duty math formulas. But it looks like it basically the depiction of refraction is basically what you just said. They got a little picture there, and very interesting. I don't believe I've ever heard of that before.
Oh, you have, because we talked about it. But that's okay. That's that CRS slipping in there, but that's okay. Not a problem. Well, what is I know these two guys that did this way back in the 60s with the 3 gigahertz band of the ham radio, you know, one of our frequencies, and actually went from the Tehachapi, the upslope Tehachapi right out there of Mojave, over the San Gabriel Mountains and into South Corona area with microwave. And that's pretty awesome. But one thing it does do and can do is it hits that peak, it kind of becomes non-directional and just like fans out like a sunburst. So I don't know. Haven't seen that. I've heard this. That's the effect, because it kind of lets it go everywhere then. So very interesting. One of the topics. We'll get into that a little bit more maybe one of the other nights. So anyway, anybody else out there with any questions or comments, please come back.
LAS.
Oldham Bill, Bowler Bill, go ahead.
Just a whacked out theory. I don't think you're going over the top of the mountain at all. I think you're traveling through the fault lines that permeate our mountains, and you're seeking out the other door.
And you saw some strange lights in the sky last night, too. Actually, Bill, this is a documented thing. And we're just saying this is some personal stuff that we've experienced, but no, it's actually documented that the knife edge effect is definitely a factor that happens. I'm not saying a fault line doesn't play into that, but It has something to do with the mountain, the content. Maybe it's the iron content. Maybe there's something in there. So, but who knows? It could be. You never know. Any other comments? Please come back.
LCS?
Romeo Juliet.
All right, we'll take LCS first. Go ahead, Clint.
That's a gentleman who thinks it might be going through the mountain. I had a commercial project of working with some guys who are working underground just in our tunnels and our sewer systems. And, no, it's not going through the mountains. When we, not even 200 feet, almost line of sight on 440, you could not hit the other gentleman at the other end of this 400-foot line. That's how much absorption and nonsense happens with rock and mountain and earth. So, no, it's not going through the mountain, I don't think. K6LCS.
Yeah, Clint, I think he was just taking a guess out there. But that is true, yeah. That tends to absorb it pretty quick. We had another person out there with comment. Please go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
6RJ. I used to, many years ago, when in Lakewood, use a Ring Ranger. And I'm down at Mother QTH in an RV resort where I have already too many antennas up. A Jeepo, 220-440-2-meter Jeepo, 30 feet high, but I can't make the repeater here. I wonder if the Ringo Ranger would let me do it at
of switching from a Ringo Ranger or a Yagi or the comparison between the two. And the Ringo Ranger, good omnidirectional antenna, got gain because it's stacking. It's a collinear, actually a coaxial collinear. It's vertically stacked dipoles, omnidirectional, good antenna. I have actually, I think Comets or somebody else, somebody's product here on my roof. They work great. Advantage of a Yagi, and I'm going to say the number one advantage is focusing your power in one direction. The bad part, of course, is it is in that direction. So if you want to, unless you're going to be lucky and get some side direction going off of it, you've got to have a rotator and move it around. But one more positive for the Yagi. It could be multi-element. It could be four-element. It could be 11 element, it could be 15 element, you know, or it could be 9 element, anything in between, any of those. You're going to get to the point where the gain is perfect for what you want to do, and then you can bounce it like artists. Go ahead, Romeo Juliet, back to you.
Okay, well, I was hoping that maybe a Ringo Ranger would let me, which is just a vertical, would let me get by and hit the repeater here down there. Okay, well, the echolink isn't always turned on. That's why I'm missing the repeater here when down there, which is not as often as I'm up here. Okay, thanks. You answered my question, Yagi. I should have, and I don't know if I get away with it down there. Back to you, Tom. Doing a great job. K6RJ.
Romeo Delta.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Harry. And Romeo Delta, I think that's, is that Rick in Corona? Go ahead.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, thank you. Going back to that knife edge, just reading up on that and kind of studying and pounding things in my brain about all this, how RF works, if I don't think it's bending, per se, the entire signal. It's if you ever played with a flashlight beam in a foggy day or something, how the beam, you know, just projects straight out, if you can picture that as the RF, And if you were to, say, shine it at a box or some obstacle, your block wall or something, half of the beam would stop at the block wall, yet the other half would continue going forward. But at the tip of the block wall, there'll be actually some kind of beam bending downwards also, kind of like wrapping around. So that's how I picture the RF working. So you're not, say, getting the full wavelength over the top of the mountain. It's just kind of like tripping over, as if you were walking straight and then you hit a parapet wall about 3 foot high, your body would topple over, and if you were RF, that signal will continue going down, if that makes sense. Thank you, 7RD.
Well, actually, Rick, that's a pretty good simile or a good example there. And I think, because light and RF waves have a lot in common, I think a good example is shining a light at a piece of glass. At a certain angle, part of it goes through, part of it reflects or comes off at an angle. Like you say, it's hitting the peak. Some of it's going continuous on, and some of it's hitting that peak and refracting. Starburst out or whatever from that point. Probably similar to light, so I think that's a good example. Appreciate that. Good example out there. Glad we have listeners out there. Anybody else? Any comments? Go ahead.
W6 Quebec Yankee Yankee.
Ah, Yankee Yankee. I understand you're one of the old timers here. Go ahead.
I have been known. We worked Simplex long before we got the repeater up. And your Yankee is wonderful. He's great. But in that valley, there's so much bounce that you take the lobes off the back of the Yankee and bounce off of the other side of the valley, and your knife doesn't work. It's that other ore body that's bouncing.
Roger that. Yeah, I think there's sometimes when I think a Yagi should actually have a corner reflector for the back to just eliminate some of those problems. But I appreciate that. I heard you out there recently. Glad to have you listening in this evening. Give me your call one more time. We'll make sure you're on the list here.
WA6, Quebec Yankee Yankee, the handle is Stan. We used to have a lot of transmitter hunts. I'm glad that you guys are doing this. I've been in the game since 1948. I've only had my license for about 30 years, but this is the first time this repeater has been used this way, and I think it's great. I think it's outstanding.
Okay, Stan, well, glad to have you out there. Did you know Gene Longbreak?
Most definitely.
Okay, sorry to announce his wife passed away last month, so didn't know if you knew that. So, anyway, well, glad to have you with us this evening, and appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sure that you guys did a lot of stuff in this valley, and here we are trying to rediscover all that stuff. Do we call that reinventing the wheel?
Yeah, somewhat, but you're a lot more technical. Most of the guys were engineers, and there were seven of us that started, and Gene and I were good friends. We did a lot of things together. In fact, the whole group was outrageous. Bob over there, BT, he's another one that's a long timer.
Okay, Roger that. Yeah, I know Bob. Great guy. He's actually one of our VEs up here on my team as a help is always out there to help us out. Another service I do up here, trying to help get new ham started and get everybody going out there. But anyway, yeah, and Gene, I met Gene a couple years ago, didn't know him before that. Great guy. All his collection of little gadgets and parts and things that he had a lot of it left over up there. He had to move off the hill. Haven't talked to Gene in a while, but like I said, I know his wife passed. And I am babysitting all of Gene's stuff, but I got to tell you, I'm a builder. I've been so since the 60s, and he was happy that at least the stuff went someplace besides the recycler. So Anyway, okay, Stan, glad to hear you out there. Anybody else out there? Any comments, questions, or any suggestions? Please come back.
Tom, AWL.
Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, we'll do this and finish, let you clean up. I know where Harry's place is. Aguanda is southeast of my location. He's down east of Temecula. I put up a vertical here the first time, actually a Diamond X50, which was, in fact, it was the old repeater antenna. Not worth a damn from this location. So Yagi's is what we need, and more what we have to consider from what we're doing in this valley is those pounds of dirt that are in front of us. We got to get up, over, and around. It's not flat land as everybody thinks. But, yeah, and that's what Harry needs to do is get it pointed and get it pointed in a direction that works, not necessarily in a direction you think you have to be. So back to you, Tom. Thanks for everything you're doing this evening and the net that you're putting on, and I'll be quiet from here. W6AWO.
Mark, now, it's always glad to hear your input out there. Glad to see you're listening in. And for everybody out there who's listening in, one thing that we got started on last year a little bit late, going to pick it up as the weather's getting better up here, we have antenna workshops, little ham workshops. We try to get one a month going, and we have, like on a Saturday the whole day, we've had J-pole. We had a J-pole workshop, built some J-poles, tested them, put them on the analyzer, tuned them up. We've done long wire workshops. We even did a quad workshop. We ran out of good weather, and it got really crappy out there. So anyway, are going to probably do another one on quads. We'll might go back to J-poles later on, but we're also going to do a Yagi workshop. We're going to build a Yagi. We're going to test it. We're going to build it right there that day and probably have a lot of extra material to build more than one. So we'll announce more of that as we get closer to it. Everybody's welcome. Generally, some refreshments are there, courtesy of WB6CLZ's XYL. But, Mike, anything you want to add to that?
Can't forget about Jim and Rosemary. They usually bring substantial stuff in. Then a lot of other people, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll as soon as we can get it scheduled. I know that you've got some aluminum to start working with there, and I've got a few pieces and little things here. And yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. Just you and I need to talk and get some stuff scheduled.
Okay, Mac, roger that. And one of the things, of course, Yagi's, homemade Yagi there, he said, well, is that going to work? Of course it works. It's going to work better because we're going to take the time to tune it up and make sure everything's functional on it, make it right. We're going to put it on the analyzer. We're going to check it out. We're going to put it up in the air. I'm not saying that manufactured antennas don't work, but, you know, they're mass-produced. That's all I can say. So it doesn't mean that it's perfect just because it comes out of a factory. What is a factory? Well, that's people like us actually in another building. And they charge more. I forgot the markup. Yeah, that's the difference. So, but we're going to actually try two different methods. Reset here. Hang on. And this is KF6Q on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater with Tech Tuesday. Every Tuesday, when we can, weather permitting and emergency conditions not predominant out there. All right, what we're going to do is build a Yagi using the insulated element method and use common available things, parts that are available at a low cost. Now, we're not talking about finding stuff out there for free. We're going to actually put together a price list of what it takes, and Mike's going to put together, Mike, a list of what it costs to go buy the same thing. Big difference. So then we're also going to try another process. Well, we're not going to try it. I've done this before myself with this product. Let me reset. It's a product called Alumaloy. If you're handy with soldering, and I've been soldering since the 1960s, Brazing, I call it more like brazing than soldering. But anyway, it's another way of bonding aluminum. And it's done all the time. If you're handy with that, that's good too. But if you're not, that's why we're going to do both methods. So try out both methods. We'll compare them. We'll put two antennas and tune them up the way they're supposed to be and see what happens. So anyway, Mike, let's see. Or anybody else out there with any questions or comments or suggestions, please come back.
86PL.
86PL. Go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on the footprint of this repeater. I listen a lot of times that I'm not talking on it, and I heard, this was several years ago, I heard a station in Vegas, just like he owned it. I'm not sure what he was running up there, and there used to be a lady in Pahrump that used to continuously to talk to people on this side of the mountain. And this fellow I knew, John Wendt, WA6BFH, went out in the Mojave Preserve for close to a month camping. He was worried that he'd get out there in the middle of nowhere and maybe not be able to get contact, so I made arrangements with him to use the Big Bear repeater every night at a certain time. And we made contact, talked for a good long while, you know. Oh, nobody else wanted to use a repeater. And made sure that he was all right out there. So it has one tremendous footprint, 86PL.
Oh, yeah, Harold, there's no doubt about that. I know used to have a guy in there recently, within the last year or two, from Kingman all the time. Not a problem. We hear people in there. I've actually heard people from San Diego in there. And that's not counting the Mexican station across the border. These are actually people on our side. And I think, Mount Whitney, John, I believe his call is W6CYS, been hiking up there with a handheld, a Yaesu FT60, with a little WIMP antenna, hit the repeater from Mount Whitney. That's awesome. That's 5 watts. So, yes, incredible footprint. Good point there. Can't complain there. Anyway, anybody else out there, comments, questions, suggestions, please come back. All right, well, WB6CLZ, any closing comments there? As I think we've either put them to sleep or baffled them or dazzled them, one of the two. Not sure. Mike, go ahead. WB6CLZ, KF6Q.
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything, you know, and it's late. I've had a long day myself, so I know how that gets. Okay, no, great subject tonight. You know, let's just continue on, and heck, we'll eventually maybe get around to where we started. Going over, what, a year and a month now, that's pretty good. And we've only missed what, maybe a total of three? Back to you, Tom. KF6Q, this is WB6CLZ.
Romeo Delta again.
Romeo Delta. Go ahead there, Rick.
Thank you, Tom. Just wondering, was the topic supposed to be on coax, and did we drift off somewhere? NQ7RD, just wondering.
Yeah, well, actually, we were the coax thing is how it can be used as an inductor or capacitor to kind of help tune up some HF. We're going to go in more depth into that, but we did want to get back into the we're kind of doing this Yagi thing, and we've covered a lot of that now, so we'll start getting back into some more HF stuff. So. Yeah, it does tend to do that sometimes. We try not to. We try to stick and exploit the one subject to its extremes, but a good point. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I was just looking forward to I read about how some of the coax where you're just kind of leaving it on the ground or it's just part of the antenna system where it doesn't actually radiate, but just like a tuning, and it does help out. And, you know, what you guys were saying about using it as an antenna and other things rather than just strictly a feed line. Okay, I'll wait, get more into depth, because that's something I'd like to just kind of learn about. NQ7RD, thank you.
Well, Rick, I'll tell you what, you just picked the topic for next Tuesday. Mike, jot that down quick before I forget. No, well, we will. We'll get into that. We did do a lot on that some time back, and we've actually kind of cycled back through a couple of topics, as we have always got a different, constant flow of people coming in, and had a couple people that have kind of vanished out there, don't know what happened, but we know they'll be back, so good point there. So anyway, it'll be, let's get into that, because I did, we did have a guy that used this to his advantage up here, and just how easy it is to do, so we'll get into that next week. Good point there. Anybody else, any other questions, suggestions, or comments? Please come back before we close the net. All right, well, we've done it again here, kind of gone over a little bit over an hour, but not too much. So, but we appreciate everybody out there. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net. Closing the net at 2,000 hours and 10 minutes, returning the repeater to normal use. I would like to thank everybody out there who has listened, participated, come back with suggestions, all you guys out there that actually are there every week. That's fantastic. Tell your friends. And if you have any things, like Rick said there, let's get into that a little bit. Send us an email. Send me an email at kf6q. At ARRL.net, or Mike, WB6CLZ, also at ARRL.net. And if you also need information on that Right Around the Bear, give me an email also. So appreciate everybody being out there. Thanks once again, and we'll stay on frequency for a little bit. This is KF6Q on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, and closing, and we'll be standing by.